F1, number 22B.
You know, I don't know how alive and how practical these things can be to each one of you or how you feel, but to me they are enormously practical each day. Practically each day, consciously or consciously, one relies on these fundamental facts, because each day, consciously or unconsciously, there is the argument of evil which says, well, Max, what you are doing in your life, is that really going to do something? Or which is saying, well, if you devote your thought to the fundamentals, is that going to reveal something bigger or not? Is it going to do a job or not? Well, if one wouldn't be certain about it, one would sometimes get a bit desperate or depressed or hopeless or anything. But when one sees the law and the inevitability, can you say that? Of principles working, you see. Then one has such an enormous trust that in the measure I rely on seeking the fundamentals, loving always the fundamentals again, the temple, that they have in itself the idea of principle which is always building a greater temple, a temple which is more beautiful than the one before. And inwardly then, therefore, one feels one has just been, one is just a servant, the obedient servant of that universal principle which has a Christ, and that Christ says, I go forward, I go forward, I go forward, I build greater houses, I build greater houses, I build greater houses. And if you are obedient to that, we can't help but experience that the house of our Lord becomes bigger and bigger and more beautiful than the latter house. So we all need these laws every day, or we do slide back from Haggai's prophecy that what we build is a big building, that what we build is a temple which is more beautiful than every other temple that has ever been built. If we don't have that hope, we better give it up. We better give it up. Because that's the innate nature of principle. And if we don't see that, we go against principle, against the purpose, the aim of principle, and the possibilities which are inherent in principle. So let's just see that, you see. Let's just see that though the argument says, well, Max, you know, you are building in a very little circle, hidden from the world, nobody really knows it, and your colleagues just think you are a bit funny, you see, you have gone off somewhere and so on. And one begins to, when one begins to be conscious of the spiritual facts of being as a prophet, one just begins to realize that principle in Haggai is constantly at work and at work and at work, and uses each discipline, systematized consciousness that is willing to think in the science of principle, and uses that to build the temple of God. And it will be a greater temple and a more beautiful temple than there ever was before. Then he goes to the fifth subject of life, where he shows that the consecration of life, that when we consecrate our life to the principle of being, to build up that principle, and not to consecrate our life to build up something else, but if we consecrate our life to building the temple, that will work in its fullness, that it brings fullness. He shows it first through its negative sense by debunking the false sense of life, namely not being consecrated to the building of the temple, and then to the positive sense. He says, he goes to the priests and has two questions to the priests and says to the priest, now, how is it? Do your dead rites, which you have, does your half-heartedness, which you have, do your speculative mode of living, or does your speculative mode of living, does that hallow your life, or doesn't it? He attacks now that dead rites, the half-heartedness in life, that lukewarmness in life. He says, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, if one has a holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt to touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, if we touch with that life, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. He said, you see, if you only touch being in half-heartedness, just through the medium of something else, if you don't touch your holy thing and touch everything with the holiness of being, but through the skirt and through the skirt of the garment, indirectly, halfway, you see, then it can't really do the job. Half-heartedness, lukewarmness is just nothing. Just nothing. John Dolly said already in class, when we went through class, he said, well, if I wouldn't like to be good, I would like to be very bad. He said, that would bring me much quicker again to good than if I would be half-hearted. That lukewarm ice spew you out, you see, is the message in Revelation. Or he says, he takes another sense, he says, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Says, well, if you take a dead, if you touch things with a dead sense, there's a sense that has no divine life in it, well, can that make anything holy? He said, no, it can't. It just can't, you see. Having shown, therefore, in these two experiences of this ritual sense, of this outward, superficial, speculative, half-hearted sense, dead sense of religion, that cannot really hallow life, he takes now the scientific sense of life. So, he says, I went too quick. Then he shows to the priest that their sense of this ritual sense of life just doesn't lead anywhere. So he says, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. You see, it was utter lack. When one came to the press fat, for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. So I smote thee with blasting, with mildew, with hail, in all the labors of your hand. So he shows there the negative sense. He said, well, if you don't build in that temple and for that temple with wholeheartedness, if you take the holy thing and bury them in the skirt of your garment, and then just indirectly with that skirt of your garment touch the living thing, you can't make it holy. It doesn't do the trick. You must be a wholehearted, wholly devoted mentality and consciousness. Then he brings the other point. He says, now, from this day and upward, from this day, he's now in the fifth day, where he has corrected the first four faults, backslidings from working in principle. Now from this day and upward, when a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. From this day will I bless you. Then he shows how the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree will bring forth and will bring new life. Now what does he mean, you see? He says, what is the means of bringing forth fruit, of bringing forth new fruits, the newness of life? He says, it is only by putting one stone was laid upon a stone. When only we build, you see, a stone was always a symbol for an idea in the Bible. So he says, you see, the only hallowing of life, the only building, the only constructive sense of life is if you always build again and again the ideas of spirit up onto the ideas of mind, the ideas of soul up on the ideas of spirit, the ideas of principle up on the ideas of soul, the idea of life upon the idea of principle. When you just take the idea of mind and ponder them, and then pondering them you see that they lead to the next stone, to spirit. And then as you ponder spirit, they bring you and lay the next stone. It drives you to the stone of soul, and then it drives you to the tone of principle, and then to the tone of life. That going through the ideas, that's the building. Don't think that the building is doing something outwardly, says them something half-heartedly. Building is building ideas in consciousness, ideas in one stone unto the other, unto the other. Always going through the world. You see, we are in the world of life. Here in life, he says, the only building is to build the world of life. Always building the world of life in consciousness. And seeing that these are the stones of the true structure of being. Then he will say, that will bring forth. And then in the sixth subject, he shows that truth impels the self-destruction of error. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. I will shake the heaven and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdom. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride on them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. See, he shows something very, very important when we build. See, these things are so alive in our consciousness, so tangible, because we have to see through them. We not always saw through them, and we were perhaps building up to the point of life. I began to see, yes, I have to build. I begin to see that the only building there is life, to put one stone to the other. To ponder about mind, what is mind, and see its substantiality. And as I ponder about mind and its substantiality, I begin to see that they demand spirit. I begin to see the idea of the spirit and see they are substantial. And as I begin to ponder about the substantiality of spirit, I am pushed onward to the next stone of soul and see, oh yes, those ideas of soul are substantial. And so to principle and so to life. And we begin to realize, oh yes, in these ideas, they are really the ideas of God. They alone are life. They alone have the power of that creative life. And then perhaps I would fail. Then perhaps because I wouldn't see the six, I would fail. Then perhaps the argument would come in and says, yes, but how can I bring that to manifestation? How can I establish that in spite of resistance, in spite of opposition? And I may not see that the building is to see that I have now to build truth, and see that I don't have to have an enemy, to go against an enemy, to go against an opposite view, to fight against an opposite consciousness. but to see, oh, what I have seen up to now is of the nature of truth, and truth will handle all the nations and all the kingdoms that are against me, that are against that idea, and everyone will bring himself down through by his own brother. I don't have to fight. I don't have to fight. I don't have to fight for this idea. What I must build now is in me the consciousness of truth, which lets truth fight it out. See, so often, because most of us have gone through that we have gone out of the Mother Church, that what we are doing is opposed by the movement, that where a seed is being sown, there are an army of opposers coming in with all sorts of arguments of disloyalty to the manual and disloyalty to that and this and that and the other. And we try to fight it. But the danger is that we fight it personally, or that we fight too much. And I began to see, let's go further in that building of Haggai, and let's see that what is true is true, and that it has the power in itself to shake the heaven and the earth, to overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms, to destroy the strength of their kingdoms, to overthrow the chariots, and they will fall by the sword of the brother. I don't have to kill them. Let error destroy itself. Let error become so contradictory to itself that it gives itself up. Then we build on the Christ truth. And as we do that, he began to see in the last tone of love that love impels the acceptance of perfection. See, as long as we fight against opposing views, we have no sense of perfection. We have an enemy. We have not yet made our enemies a footstool, a support, a help. And so he comes and says, all right, if you have seen that tone of truth, you get your inward peace again. And you get your inward dominion again. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant. He first calls him servant here, my servant. Servant is that which obeys. You see, that which had obeyed the whole world, word of God, has gone through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in building mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And he said, I will make thee a signet. I have chosen thee. See, the signet is a sign of authority. Mrs. Eddy says, the signs of being gives back the lost likeness and power of God as the seal of man's adoption. So here, Zerubbabel has been adopted again as man, as God's man, where we just feel, yes, we don't have to do anything, we just have to see that our thought goes back and back, God, to build the temple of God, and in doing that, God will take care of the whole situation, of every situation. And we feel that the signet of divinity is just impressed upon us. Why? The signet is really a signet. Mrs. Eddy says that the signet is upon science. God has set his signet upon science. She says divine science, which is the seal of deity and which has the impress of heaven. You see, Haggai, who is that scientific thinker who says, you see, you have to see now that you operate no more as you, that you can't operate anymore and take the ideas of God and put it into your plan. Haggai makes us go out of the picture as a personal ego and says, all that is true about you is only that which operates according to principle within you, that which builds according to principle, that's your principled being. And so, at the end, we have the impress of science on us. I think when we come to love, always we begin to see that man is scientific. That being scientifically conscious is called man. That is the only man there is when we come to the point of love. That man is the outcome of divine science. How did Mitzvah say there somewhere that Jesus was ushered into being by divine science or something like that? Well, I shouldn't say it if I don't know to quote it definitely in Science of Being. Divine science which ushered Jesus into human presence, you see. That's to this point he wants to drive us. He shows Jesus is not the son of Mary anymore at that point, but he's the son of divine science. No more a son of a human being, but the son of science, of principle. And you know, from the day where John Dolly showed us in the 30s that man is the idea of science, I began at that time very much to work, always. And I did that for years, practically every day when I walked to the office or so. I just went through that point that I began to see I am not a son of anybody. And then I began to see that I am the son of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. And then at that time I felt that's not enough. I felt I am the son of science. All that is true about my being is that I am a scientific idea of science. Just as we can see we are an idea of the world, an idea of the Christ, an idea of Christianity, ideas of science. The signet of science is that mark which is set upon us and which says, you are man, you are Zerubbabel.